Public Utility Advisories Committee, and we'll stop the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic on which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, next order of business.
Robert Wieners.
Present.
Malcolm Kennedy.
Present.
Michael Hardiman.
Present.
Frank Hutchinson.
Here.
Jack Pittman.
Here.
Victor Sarmiento.
Here.
And John Smart.
Here.
We have no minutes of the previous meeting, so. Excuse me.
But this is a mistake.
Yeah.
I was not.
Okay, go ahead, and any corrections or errors?
I was not present.
Any other corrections? Not all. Your motion to approve the minutes is.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next order of business. The whole business would be, do we have any other? Have any other things to discuss under the underground wire ordinance? I know we've kind of passed over for the last couple of meetings.
We're still working on it.
Okay.
Did we just pass over the policy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, next item of business would be pharmaceutical disposal. Have any new things to add to that particular item? I know we've discussed it in depth for the last few meetings.
Just one comment. CVS told me that they do not have a program in being for disposal of used medications. I didn't get to Walgreens at all.
That's right. You verified that, right?
I showed you one. You can buy a prepaid envelope for $2.99.
That's right.
And it's, I showed it. It's about this size. You can get a fair amount of medication. You can also put liquids in there up to 3 grams. Of course,
have to put the bottles in or can you?
It has to be in the original container. You can't pour the capsule in. You have to put the whatever you've got there. Yeah, it has to go in.
Okay.
It's not enough pressure.
You know,
not
enough.
On the lounge, some of the
stuff, but one of the
control set out there. No control set.
Follow on, Bob. I had it in my mind to see what Florida Hospital Flagler had to say about it at this point in time. And I haven't done that, so I'm going to get into that. And I've got an inquiry, and I see the subject was covered in the last meeting, and that is the next dates for drop-off of medications. And it's going to happen, but I was just able to get to get the inquiry in the Sheriff's Department today, so I don't know that the answer to that at this point. But they tend to have one or more the cost. That's all.
Are they still tying this in with the $10 cost? They insist it was necessary to do so even participate in the
phone. I'm not afraid of that.
That was one of the major obstacles. The cost of the $10 gift card, they insist it has to be given to each person to go.
We'll see what happens. I made the inquiry through Deputy Kevin Byrne, so we'll see what he has to say about it. make a note of that and try to cover that.
They have two copies.
Are they going to put the next date in the Palm Coast newsletter? Are you getting there?
Check to see if they're aware of it.
I think they should be aware.
We're notified of it, I'm sure. But the newsletter is difficult because the time from the because of the distribution network, the time that you have your final proof, and you've got to send it to the printers that have 30,000 copies made, and you've got to send it to the billing vendor to insert it in the bill, and then it takes four complete billing cycles, which is a month, to get it distributed to everybody. So the newsletter is not all that timely. So it's difficult to, but we'll get it on the website, and now that we're on Facebook, we're talking about the Facebook.
Any other comments on pharmaceutical disposal? Any public participation? I don't see anyone here, so I guess we can pass that one. Any of the members have any new ideas that they'd like to discuss? Perhaps something we can work on in the future.
Good items, if I might. Richard, in the city, are there any septic tank users in the city?
Yeah.
A lot, or thousands?
No. The only septic tanks that are in the city right now are in the CRA, the Community Redevelopment Area, down off of State Road 100.
Okay.
In that area of Jerome's and Midway, and those areas in there, and Cape Cod and Huntingdale.
They have septic tanks.
They have septic tanks. And then the ranchettes, or whatever you call them, up on Old King Road North, 5 acre tracks, those are approved for septic tanks. Those are the only ones, that particular subdivision, and the only one that was approved for septic tanks since we've been in the city. The ones down in CRA obviously existed before we were in the city. And there's one other, water treatment plant number three.
Right.
Considered to be temporary until such time the utilities are extended out.
Yeah. The reason I bring this up is that on December 1st, the News Journal ran an article. Well, it was Mark Lane's column, but there's apparently activity on the subject in Tallahassee because they're finding that there are. Somebody come up with a figure of something like 10% of the septic tanks in the state are leaking and are faulty. And so there was a due date for the next step, and it was to be January 1st. It's now July 1st. And this columnist thinks it's going to be killed because of objections, financial hardship and all. So we'll see what happens. But I thought it was, I wanted to bring it up here because we do have some under our purview, you might say.
Well, first of all, I
do we have any inspection requirements?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. And my understanding, and I don't have any details, but my understanding is that they're putting the proposed rules or the new rules. Put some requirements on the septic tank owners relative to how frequently they have to be pumped out and or inspected.
Okay.
And it is, like you said, it's a significant financial burden on a lot of people that are not very well to do. I mean, a lot of septic tank areas are areas that are not real affluent areas.
Right.
So that's why the pushback, I guess. As far as septic tanks within the city, even though they're in the city, they're still regulated by the state health department. So Flagler County Health Department is the one that permits and regulates those. So any inspection that goes in would come through the county health department.
All right.
Just to understand clear, a septic tank is a tank which is, and you talk about leaky septic tanks, they leak if I design.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I assume what
I don't understand
well,
what they mean.
Well, tanks don't, but drain fields do. And a septic, septic tank. When we hear septic tanks, we're talking about a septic system, which includes a septic tank and a drain field.
I know.
The drain field takes the effluent from a certain portion of the tank, and therefore it's digested and heads to the drain field. If it's a leaking tank, then you can leak solids out of the bottom. Which comes out of the top, and that defeats the purpose of the tank.
In my terminology, being in the field, a septic tank is a tank that has drainage built into it. It holds in the side.
No.
And the drain field with the tank is not called a septic tank.
No, you're right. That when we talk about septic tanks, we're talking about a septic system, which includes a sealed tank. The drain field. And those
that's
are the
a septic system.
Yes, yeah, and those are the only permitted. What you're talking about really is an advancement of the old cesspool system.
Right? It's a big tank. Usually it's a big tank. And
yeah, that's not what we're talking about.
Bottom to it.
We're talking about a 750 gallon or 1,000 gallon tank that has a drain field attached to it.
Just so that you all know what we're talking about.
Okay.
And the problem with the failed septic systems, as I understand it, is if you're in a low area where you could be wetlands.
Well, that's why you see a lot of the newer septic systems include an elevated drain field, which requires a pump to get the effluent up to the drain field area. The tank still functions the same way as any tank does, and again, that takes the effluent out of a section of the tank that is the clear liquid digested portion. The solids have settled to the bottom and continue to digest. The scums come to the top, and there's a little amount of a liquid in the middle range. And that liquid goes to the drain field where it's allowed to percolate back in the ground. What you don't want is you don't want that a direct discharge to the water table. So if the water table is high, they require you to have an elevated drain field. You'll see that. You see the humps and the yards and a lot of places. That's all.
But the tanks themselves can leak. If you get the solids up too high.
Right. Yeah, and that's another part of regulation is if you don't pump them occasionally, you can overload them with solids, and then you start getting solid carryover in the drain field. Those solids get into the.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Those tanks have the below the humps you see on the.
Yeah, the tank has to be down at a level where it can gravity feed from the home to the tank. And then the effluent only gets pumped up to the drain. But yes, we have some, but not many, because the only ones.
Some people think they're in the very.
And of course, outside the city limits, over in the hammock, except for within hammock dunes or within the shores or a couple other smaller developments, it's all septic. All of the homes over in the hammock are all septic. They get our water, but the sewer is septic.
They don't have a drain.
They do have a drain.
They have a drain. So it's a septic system.
What do they have done in Beverly Beach?
Beverly Beach has a central collection system and a packaged wastewater plant. The effluent from that packaged wastewater plant gets discharged to the collection. And that's what Flagler County is working on, trying to phase out that plant and ultimately connect to us.
So
originally they were going to rebuild that plant, put in a new AWP plant at that site that they finally come around and decided it makes more sense to connect to a major regional facility like ours as opposed to building a package.
then they don't have the MPDES permit
correct.
To comply with then.
That's correct.
You know, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, their plan was to build an AWT plant and do reuse irrigation and an MPDES permit for wetland discharge. And it was huge dollars, and when all they had to do is build pump station forcing and connect us. Currently, that's our plan. We're working with the county.
Yeah.
Speaking of tanks, what the hell's going on in Florida Park Drive?
That's a different subject.
Oh, I know. Oh. It's just tanks. Oh. It's lift station.
Yeah. New lids.
The whole tank has been replaced?
No, just the tops.
Just the tops.
New tops and new piping inside the wetland.
Well, we may hear more about the subject because other states are into it.
Yeah.
Further along, I might say, than Florida.
Yeah, I think there's different opinions on the systems. Yeah.
Doesn't the responsibility, like you said, falls on the Board of Health of Flagler County and to do that enforcement, whatever it
is. Which is really the state health department.
Mandated, yeah.
Well, even though it's Flagler County Health Department, it's the Department of State Health Department.
Okay.
Not a Flagler County Department.
Yeah.
Any other? Thank you. Any other discussion or any new ideas that we might want to look into? Not, I guess we'll move on to the next one, which would be the updates from Richard. wells.
Yeah, I'll give you some information on what we've got going on here. Several projects that we're working on. One is Orchard Plant Number 3, Phase 2 wells. We've talked about for quite some time now. The 12 additional wells that will feed Orchard Plant Number 3. All these wells are west of the railroad tracks. The pipelines are in, and the contractor should be moving on to starting the construction of the well access. The wells were drilled years ago. The wells will be activated. So probably in the next few months we should be able to start pumping out of a couple of those wells. Assuming we can get power to them. So if our line can start construction, the transmission line to get power to them. They should be starting that.
Is there a difference in water quality as you go further west as compared to the wells closer?
No, not in the area that we will be withdrawing from, but once you get out of our planned well field area, you start dropping off pretty significantly in water quality. You go west and north, so we're kind of in the highest water quality area. Find sufficient water quality 4 to the east and water quality 4 to the west. I guess closer to the ocean, closer to St. John's River. We also have finished our work in addition to the 13 wells that we, or the 12 wells we acquired on the Rainier property. We will in the future acquire 27 additional wells, and we have done all our due diligence on those at the phase one, the surveys of the proposed easements, and provided that information to Rainier for their use, letting them know where those 27 additional wells will be in the future. No immediate plans for acquisition of those wells, but we will be either coming to an agreement with Rainier or acquiring those wells by 2014 to this contract. We have a well activation, LW19. Some of you might have seen that one that's down along the US 1 south of Altair. That one's moving very slow, but I think we're real close to being able to fire that up. These days, it's very difficult to get equipment. We've talked about specialized equipment like we use in our business. It takes forever. We've been working on that well for a long time. This last week, we finally got the delivery of the control panel. Control panel. Delivery of the control panel.
I could have bet you the delivery of that control panel probably in 2 weeks.
I'm sure you could, but you aren't going to have Siemens equipment that will telemetry back to us the information we need.
You got to look for a guy that will make all the control panels you want to, whatever you want. Okay. In a timely way.
But you can't deliver Siemens equipment any timelier than anybody else.
Can't deliver anything. Like Siemens, what? Control equipment or Siemens?
The PLCs,
you're dedicated to using Siemens?
RTU, well, in order for it to work with the system.
PLC would work with anything.
I'm not a design engineer. We have the waste electric plant number 1 advanced waste treatment design. We talked about that last time. That's still waiting for permit from DEP. Old Kings Road Master Pump Station, the pump station that's down in Old Kings Road, almost to the railroad track, or almost to the high guys now, and that station's going to get upgraded, actually relocated and upgraded. That design is about, I think, about 60% complete. We have a wastewater force main on Whitefield east of Belcare. That's under design, probably 60% design. Wastewater treatment number two, aerobic digester improvements. That's about a $2 million project that this week. Basically, we're taking floating aerators out of existing digesters and putting forced air blowers, hooking them to the forced air blowers.
The digesters?
Yeah.
You're changing the digesters to aerobic digesters?
No, they're currently aerobic. They have floating aerators and they're putting forced air blowers. Hooking them to the existing blowers. We use
I think they meant anorexia.
Anaerobic digesters.
Anaerobic.
They're the ones that blow up. Right.
But I mean, they make those.
Yeah.
That's what you were getting rid of.
No. No, we don't have anaerobic. We have aerobic. We're working on an emergency interconnect with the city of Benal. That design is through that. I think it's about 60% design. We have the interlocal agreement with Benal, and now we're just designing the interconnect.
What kind of interconnect?
Water. So our water system will be interconnected. We did this same thing with Flagler Beach about a year ago. We're interconnected with Flagler Beach, and now we'll be interconnected.
With this fine amendment, if you have
to. It can go both ways.
That's sort of effectively mandated.
No, not really. It's encouraged, but it's not mandated. And it does pose a problem. Like in the case of our interconnect with Flagler Beach, because Flagler Beach, their water treatment system now is totally low pressure reverse osmosis. They remove all the organics, and therefore they can chlorinate. They can disinfect with the chlorine. We disinfect the chlorine. Like you can't. It's just flip the switch. So it does pose some challenges, but at least we have the internet in case of emergency. They have one supply line. Their plant is off the Seminole Woods. They have one supply line. They lose that supply line, they've lost water consistently. Our interconnected out of cold rain. Or if something happened to our connection on Robert's Road, we could get water supply damage. The same idea. The Benal connection would be at Stairwell 100 and Delta. We've done smoke testing in sections 57, 58. That's the Seminole Woods, east of Seminole Woods Parkway. And as a result, replaced 91 broken greenhouse traps. Repaired these manhole covers and identified several service levels. And then finally, our big project is we've got a water main that's going to go from Citation under the interstate over to Old Kings and up to 100. That project is designed. We're waiting for one more permit to be ready to go out quickly soon. And our big project that we're working on right now is what we call water plant number 20 liquid discharge. You probably all know that our concentrate from water plant number 2 gets piped up the Royal Palm waterway, where it's discharged into the canal. We are proposing a lime softening microfiltration plant that will basically result in a zero liquid discharge and recover that water. So basically, we'll further treat the concentrate to close the stand and find up the solids, find up the hardness.
What do you do with the solids?
Well, right now, the solids from Water Plant 1, which is Black Flake, it goes to, they actually mix it into a shell on the roads.
These four?
Road base.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the majority of our projects. If you didn't happen to see City Council meeting Tuesday night, we are now on Facebook. City of Palm Coast is in a Facebook page. And it's a big deal. It may not be a big deal to you, but it is a big deal to a lot of people, especially the younger generation. That's how they communicate with the outside world. So it's pretty exciting. It's
you're going to post on Facebook?
Mm-hmm. So there'll be postings on Facebook. The new official website name for Palm Coast is www.palmcoastgov.com. So you won't have to do that CI-Palm-Coast. That'll still work, but officially it's palmcoastgov.com.
That's up to now.
That's up to now. And we also have established a second website called discoverpalmcoast.com, and that is going to be oriented to less business and more fun and activities that are going on. So discoverpalmcoast.com will have for closing the road, going West Fall Lane, changing the pipes. That will be on the Palm Coast website. It will have the
discover.gov?
Discoverpalmcoast.com.
.com?
Yeah. Discoverpalmcoast.com would have, like, the joyride that's happening in Town Center this weekend. So, a little easier to remember. Another website to look at would be compassgov.com, which is our old website. It looks the same. It's compass.com. It's a fun site. And, of course, the Facebook. Many of the Facebook announcements will link you back to the other websites where you can further information. Facebook isn't all up like that.
But do you have any kind of program underway to eliminate some of these places that are really kind of bad confined space pump stations? That I think of the one on Rolling Sands. It's out in the middle of the road.
It's interesting that you ask. There really is no practical way to do that. But and we have a lot of those. Pump stations are basically in the middle of the road. And, as opposed to a manhole, most manholes are in the middle of the road. You don't have to go into manholes that often. Pump stations have to go into quite frequently because that's where your pumps are. For some reason, engineers decided to design a lot of these in the middle of the road. So, in essence, we have to close the road to access the pump station. And we have probably a dozen of them. And you're right, they are.
I mean, confined space is bad enough, but if you're out in the middle of the road and you've got trucks and cars going down and they knock over the facilities, you're kind of up the creek.
But it would be a major operation to try to relocate that. Basically, you couldn't. Without acquiring property adjacent to the pump station.
I think like that one, that particular one, there is a piece of property right on the adjacent corner that's owned by the city, which I think it goes back to one of the buyers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know I've looked it up on the property.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's still owned by the city. It was an abandoned piece of property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll look at that. We occasionally get information from community development that says, a piece of property might be available. Gee, I can see if it makes any sense to put
yards apart. And if it looks like it's next to one of those types of sites, we might acquire it. To move one of those pump stations would probably be hundreds of thousands of dollars. In some cases, couldn't do it at all if you tore down the house. But I'll look at that one for sure if it's probably available in the store. But we got like rolling sands, there's on West Hampton, Westminster, the 204 Park Drive, there's a number of them on Clubhouse Drive, there's Air or something like that. There's a number of them on Parkview. Some of these are pretty heavily traveled streets. Colorado,
Colorado has one almost in video of the world.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's got a square cover.
Yep.
That's square.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we're changing the ones in Fort Park, because the traffic heats those things up. And the lid frames are cast in concrete. So in order to change the lids, you have to change the concrete tops. Looks like
well, I thought they were doing more than that, because it looked like they were digging up more and more stuff around.
Piping coming out of the wet well into the valve.
They've got that too.
Any other questions for Richard?
Talking about electricity. I'm sure you're all aware of all these phone calls that people are getting about the offering an audit, an energy audit coming from cell phones. I know the state is, some official government agency should be looking into it. It's
epidemic. Yeah, I get it.
I have literally dozens.
Say again?
Dozens. Literally dozens. And I'm on a no-call list.
There's a Monica's daughter works for a company that's doing this audit. They install equipment on everything in the house, so you know what the usage is.
That's I think you're talking about
John Metz has one installed on his house. His is working. Mine is yet to come.
This is a company that's calling people up and offering to do an audit. And then they come in and try to sell you crap.
They offered that to so many people, and then when they got a certain number of people, they stopped, I think.
I think this is something different, because I get the same calls. And I think it's actually some sort of a gimmick to get you to buy insulation or upgrade your windows.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is a system that's installed free to determine what it is your usages are.
The free installation is the pilot project. This is a new startup company that has received economic development incentives to start up their Palm Coast. And they've got like a 100-unit pilot project going on that they took applications and their selection of who is going to get them, and they're going to install the pilot units, and then they'll produce a report, and then they're going out and they're going to sell these. Basically, they're looking for resellers to market their units. They're going to be selling them to people like air conditioning.
I have a list of four or five that are tied in. I've already got a letter from one which has no association with it, but heard about it and is trying to leapfrog.
Yeah, well, in this case, it's really about the software. The hardware is pretty simple. They go into the control panel, put little devices on the
wires coming off the breakers reports through your computer modem. You can get on the website from anywhere where you have web access, and you can look. I can sit in here today, and I can look right now how much juice my air conditioner is drawing. And it gives you the opportunity to plan and schedule and monitor your electricity use and look for opportunities to save money. It's a pretty neat system. It's a startup company. It's working in company.
I forget the name of it, but anyway, I'm on
the
list.
What they call GoPros?
We discussed them, I think, 4 or 5 meetings ago.
Yeah.
We had a little information.
Yeah, because they've been to council because they got approved.
But John Metz has his up and running.
Oh, okay.
Because I heard him talking about it. And he likes to figure out what he was using, and he thought it was. They have a lot of information.
And there are other companies that offer similar type things, but nothing quite like this.
The phone calls I'm talking about are useless calls.
Yeah.
But people who want to study or whatever.
Yeah.
And they mention FPL,
yeah.
Progress Energy. And both FPL and Progress Energy have put ads on the TV saying, we are not offering anything, blah, blah, blah.
That's similar to the type of solicitations you see of people trying to sell water truckers. And they cleverly word those things so it almost sounds like it's us. We get postcards that say, you know, we're doing water testing in your area, as required by EPA. Just
scare
people and make them think it's us.
Give you 6 bottles of Coca-Cola for free.
Yes.
Any other information that you might be interested in? Go on to John. John's not here, so we can skip him. Next would be discussion of matters not on the agenda.
I have 2 items. One is a sad item and one is an informational item. I'll start with the informational item. I read all about this new city hall and that utility funds are going to be used as part of the funding for that. What are those funds and can the utility really yield them? Are they reserve funds or what are they?
They would be in our capital plan, and they are our portion of the city hall that will be occupied by the utility personnel. So utility customer service will be at the new city hall.
And what will they do with the building on Utility Drive?
There's a lot of people in that building, so we can optimize customer service.
That's a nice big office for Richard.
I have a desk and I have a computer. And
just between you
and
me and a light post, to spend, I think it's $10 million, to save $240,000 a year, we're talking about an interest rate of about 2 point something.
I have a dog in the hunt, but how many cities of 75,000 people do you know that don't have a city hall?
Is that the reason?
It's not a good reason.
How many cities built their city hall back in the 1930s?
Only cities
in the 1920s. Anyway, I'm not going to go with it.
That's really.
I have my second point, and that'll make John.
That was the information and not the sad one. What's the sad one?
That was the information. The second point is, I've looked at my schedule for the year, and I probably won't be able to make 5 meetings. So I'm probably going to submit my resignation. I'll send it to, who do I send it to? Send it to Rebecca?
Yeah,
and I do it with sadness. I've enjoyed this committee from, I guess, the inception. So, and we've done a couple of good things that I think I was.
You just got to retire.
No, I'm not retired. I will tell you what the conflict is. I chair one committee, and I am on another committee, the Rights to Exam Licensed Professional Engineers of the Environmental Persuasion, and prepares the exams for the EFI exam, which is an EIT, the engineering training you're taking the senior year. And I participate on the subcommittee that prepares the environmental problems. Those meetings are always on Friday and Saturday. I drive up on Thursday, and they almost always seem to land on the first week of the month. So I have one at the end of January, the beginning of February, so I won't be here next meeting. There's another meeting in March, at the beginning of March. I won't be for that meeting. There's two in September and October, and one in June, or May. In any case, at least five. So I don't think it's fair to the committee to have a member that only here half time. So I will be submitting my resignation. You can find somebody else. I think it will be better.
Better.
But anyway, that, I will send it to Rebecca.
Send yourself a private planning plot. Yeah, you can buy one of the ones that rest on it.
That's right.
Anyway.
Frank, thank
you. I did want to tell all of you, I've enjoyed this committee. I have to tell you, I've enjoyed this committee. And I enjoyed the people on it. I think you're all smart as paint. You know what you're talking about. It's a pleasure. I spar with Richard, but I like Richard. He's I've known John for, I don't know, 17 years now, I guess. 16 or 17 years. So the relationships won't go away, but the committee obligation will have to.
Member of the public.
So I could do that. I could do that and give you a fit because now you can't shut me down.
3 minutes. We can limit your comments to 3 minutes.
But that's okay. I can do a lot of damage in 3 minutes.
Well, thank you, Frank. I'm sure everybody's going to miss you. Appreciate your service. We kind of, John, if we move back to John's update, see if he has anything.
I guess the big thing in engineering right now is the stormwater ordinance rewrite. We are going to take that to the workshop next Tuesday. And what we're proposing is looking at simplifying the credits and exemptions for the, we had seven of them before, and it's basically the process you would appeal. Would apply for a credit, everybody would be billed based on just what we knew they had there, in the impervious area and area of property owned. Now it will be, as we know, for instance, there's a building there and been built fairly recently, they probably have a stormwater permit or an ERP permit, they would qualify for a credit. If their property is partially in, partially out of the service area, they would apply or they would qualify for a credit. They would calculate that as part of the billing. So that when the billing went out, it would already reflect that reduced rate.
What would you do if you're in or out of a service area?
Well, we have spent a lot of time drawing a boundary of our service area. Basically, it's the watershed. So drain into our
so somebody in the C section or the F section, they're in the service.
Oh yeah, that's part of it. It's the land on the perimeter is where we get normal ingrowth in those areas. But we're going to have to be very careful with that because you've got to get down. And obviously, if you grade a piece of property, if it's half in and half out, you could grade it and have all the property in and all the property or all the property out. So there's a but anyway, we want to keep that as simple. The idea is keep it fairly simple so we reduce the administrative costs and the costs to the customer themselves to deal with. we figured an average price, if you wanted a, an exemption or a credit, it was about $2,000, but you had to hire an engineer and make sure you have all the documents and go through that process. So this is simplified greatly for us and for the...
So you still have to hire an engineer?
No, no. That, unless you don't agree with... Yeah, you better remember the city management plan.
I don't need any more business.
Also, we are looking at the, we're looking for direction from the council as far as how we handle, the big question right now is vacant bulk land, land that is within the watershed of the stormwater system, so that it will drain, eventually water will drain off that land into our system. Obviously, they're receiving a service. So if they're receiving the service, they should receive the charge. We look at a reduced level of service that they are receiving. If it's vacant land and it's bulk, it doesn't have swales on it, so we don't have to worry about swales and ditches and things like that. That was a substantial reduction, but we're looking at how we handle that. With the
if you have a vacant lot that's half of it by virtue of its natural elevation drains into the canal, or may not drain at all because it's vegetated, and maybe the front 20 feet will drain to the road or the swale, you get a credit?
Yeah.
11 Cleveland Court would get a credit? I'm being very personal, Jim.
No, wait a minute. First of all, 11 Cleveland Court drains either to the swale or to the saltwater canal, of which both are.
So the canals are at it. The canals are part of the system.
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. Yeah,
I understand.
No, what we're talking about basically is if you're, say, laying along US 1, that's the example. You've seen some of the vacant land up there that drains to the east. On the east side of US 1, it drains into what's called Gulick Swamp and then under the Kansas Woods and out to.
Hellisary Creek.
Well, through a man-made canal to Hellisary Creek, mm-hmm. and then a natural water body. And those are the ones. They don't have any swales. They don't have any ditches. Well, first of all, they would get a credit by virtue of the fact they get a reduced level of service. This is some of our thinking. Nothing has been approved yet by council, but they would get a credit because they have a reduced level of service. There are a lot of wetlands there that actually hold water, anyway, well, so that's helpful. And part of that land is on part of the community-wide drains. If you have, for instance, a ditch running through your property or a canal, or the water from a canal goes through the little wetland on your property, then it's 100% of them, that portion of it is used as conveyance. So we're trying to put all that in there, make it as fair as possible, but there's a lot of push from developers on it, you know. So, we're going to the workshop there.
What about property along Route 100 that drains that goes towards Bunnell but is in Palm Coast?
Well, we have to look at the service area. If it truly drains into Bunnell, we have a situation where NatureScape, for instance, that is brought into the city. They have an extended city there. The ditch starting their property runs under a road. It's a county road, I believe, and then through a little area that's outside the city and then back into the city and eventually into our system. So they have to be assessed, but they don't understand why, that, you know, because that ditch has always been there. But they're receiving the service, so they have to pay them. If it drains, if it does drain into our system, it's outside the service area. And that's the trick. It's a lot of people, you know, think they know where it drains, but we're going back and trying to verify all that. So that is the biggest thing in stormwater right now. We have completed for the year 2010 the design of 19 miles of swale for rehabilitation. Those plans have been, or will be, some of them we're doing small increments, doing two public works so they can rehabilitate those swales, recreate the swales. And we started on the 2011 calendar year now, so frankly, we want to make sure public works will end up with recreating 25 miles.
You due to the giant he does the work.
Right. Sometimes they just do the work. If it's one or two lots, if it's an obvious high spot in the soil, they will go in and take care of it. Well, right away, culvert, public works will go out and take care of it. Any other questions? Comments? One of the things you might notice, if you look on our website, we're closing, we're doing two large jobs where canals go under roads. We're going to replace the culvert pipes with concrete box culverts. They're now corrugated metal pipe. And in two locations, one on London Drive up by Lever, and the other one on Seminole Parkway by Site Station, South End. Seminole Woods Parkway at Slumber, near Slumber Trail. You can see those notices, and that will happen in the next 90 days. We'll start the funding.
Anything else for Tom? Got the next order of business, I guess, is going to be here. All in favor?
Aye.